Thank you, Nick. Good morning and welcome to Disability Forum on Life FM 93.1 by myself, Eric and Mary, and we're right through until 9.30 this morning. If you're watching the time now, it's 6 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock. It's the 1st of May, would you believe it, and the sun is trying to break through, and hopefully it will as the day progresses. We'll just have a quick look at the traffic situation out there before we start the show. The traffic is busy coming into the city on the Model Farm Road, nearby slow eastbound on the South Ring Road at the Sarsfield Road roundabout. And as you know, there's works going on there at the moment. The Wilton roundabout is slow from Dennehy's Cross to Victoria Cross. So if you can avoid those particular areas, then take an alternative route if you possibly can. Let's have a look at what we have on the programme today. First of all, thanks to Tim for the breakfast show, by the way. And he'll be back again tomorrow just after 7 o'clock. Have a look at, as I said, what's on the show today. And we're looking at the effects austerity is having on the disability community. We also look back on the life of one of the greatest advocates for people with disabilities, that's Helen Kaler, and also, of course, Mary will bring us up on all the latest of what's happening in DF report, bring us the best in the disability community, what's happening. So we're going to start the programme, and as I said, we're looking at austerity, and we have three different stories from three different people. Take a listen.
Hello, my name's Anne Pepper. I live in Talla. I have done for a number of years. I'm a parent. I have 6 adult children. I have 7 grandchildren, which I adore very much. I live now on my own. My children have all left home. I wasn't always a wheelchair user myself. I started using the chair when I got the late effects of polio. I had a family, I wallpapered and decorated my own home, I did all the family shopping, did everything. Mm-hmm. But now there's not a lot that I can do, but I do as much as I can. I use a manual chair in the house, mm-hmm. and I use a motorised chair when I go out. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to go outside my door unless I had a motorised chair. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have the strength in my arms. The effects of the recession on me, as I say, as a polio survivor, I suffer from the cold quite a lot. I don't use my heat when there's nobody in the house. I don't put on my my lights when there's nobody on in the house. And the thing that breaks my heart is I only go out now when I absolutely have to, because it costs me to charge my motorised chair. It will be on a 6 to 8 hour charge each time that I want to go out. It will be a lot dearer than having your doing 7 or 8 washes a day to charge in the chair. That's how dear it can be. The services I'd like to see an improvement in is transport. Mm-hmm. For disabled people and sick people that have to go to the far side of the city to see a specialist. Mm-hmm. And if they're not finished and checked in at reception again at 4:15, they don't get any transport home. Politicians need to meet disabled people. They need to knock on the disabled people's doors. They need to talk to them. They need to listen to them. And each disabled person has a different story to tell, and they'd want to stop cutting back on the health issues. They'd want to stop cutting back on transport, hospital services, stop closing down beds and wards, stop putting the height on the prescriptions at 50 cent a night, case that I won't be collecting in the chemist. In the next budget, if they cut social welfare again, rent will still go up, the cost of electricity will still go up, the cost of gas or oil will still go up, the cost of food, clothing, mm-hmm. medication, mm-hmm. everyday life, and it will mean that I'll be able to do less next year than I can do this year, and I'm really struggling the way things are this year.
Well, my name is Kieran Edge, and I'm originally from Longford, but I moved up to Dublin about 3 years ago to work part-time in the Irish Wheelchair Association. So I'm a full-time writer on the magazine Spoke Out. Myself and my boyfriend went to Australia and New Zealand for 3 months, so that was really good fun. And it's quite, I suppose, I'm quite an eye-opener, because I've always known that Ireland is really, really, really bad when it comes to wheelchair access and disability, but it's quite frightening how far ahead other countries are and how far we are behind. The main problem that I have with my occupational therapist is getting to see them. See her isn't a problem. Like, she's pretty really nice and willing to help, but at the end of the day, it's not your OT that makes the decision as to whether the equipment that you need can be purchased or not. So unfortunately, it's like if you need a new nut for your wheelchair or you need a new part for your wheelchair, it's like, okay, well, you know, we'll send you for an assessment, that'll take a few weeks, and then we'll wait and see what the assessment comes back to us and says, and then we'll try and get some funding, and you know, and we might let you know in like 6 or 8 months if you can actually get that look for your wheelchair. So it's just a bit unrealistic, and then especially for me, because my chair is everything. Like, if I haven't got my chair, I can't get out, I can't get out of bed, I can't go to work, I can't live my life in any way. So if there's something wrong with my chair, I don't need to fix in a year, I need to fix within a reasonable amount of time. I mean, need it. If I don't have the proper supports on my wheelchair, like, I will develop back problems and pressure sores, and that's all going to lead to more ill health, and that's all going to lead to the state having to pay more money. If there was a problem with my wheelchair, I wouldn't be able to go to work, and if there's problems, say, for a month, then, like, what are you really expecting employers to hold? So I was on the job for a month because the wheel fell off the wheelchair.
My name is Anne Clancy. I have MS. I've had it for 35 years, so I'm well used to it now. I've got 8 PAs a day, and they make a huge difference to my life. They do everything for me, and they really are my hands and everything else that I need. They get me up out of bed in the morning, they give me my lunch in the afternoon, then they put me back on the bed after that, and that's where I am at the moment. Then the next two come in and get me up out of bed, give me my evening meal, and then the next lot come in at about 8:30 and put me to bed again. So I feel my life revolves around getting me out of bed. Grant. So it's quite a long day for me, but the PAs are just terrific. I don't know how I'd manage without them. They do everything that needs to be done in here. Some of them would iron for me, and others would do all the cleaning for me. Not that I would expect them to do it, but they just do it anyway. And they keep the place extremely tidy, so that if anybody comes to visit me, the place always looks great, which is terrific for me. And if I didn't have a PA, I don't know what I'd do, because they really do everything for me. I just couldn't manage at all. I really need them. I think we really need funding, and sufficient funding, to fund all the PAs, to pay them, to make sure that they will always come to me and other people to make us much more comfortable. At least I can be looked after by the PAs, but then when they go, I have time to myself, and that's very important. We both have time alone. It's great to know that the PAs are going to be coming in.
Disability Forum on Life, FM 93.1.
Three different stories there from three different individuals about how disability affects their daily lives. And that was Anne Pepper, Kieran Lynch and Anne Clancy. And we thank them for their contribution on the show today. It's now coming up to 16 minutes past the hour of 9 here on Life FM 93.1 with Eric and Mary, Disability Forum. You can text us if you wish on 086 7200 931, and we'd love to hear from you. Or if you want to contact the program, then please do so at disabilityforum@lifefm.ie. And if you have anything that you would like to have included in the program, especially actually in Mary's DF report, that's Disability Forum report, then you can send all the information that you have to Mary O'Shea at disabilityforum@lifefm.ie. We go on now to the story of one of the greatest advocates in history, Helen Adams Keeler, who was born on June the 27th, actually the same date that I was actually born myself, in 1880, and she lived until June the 1st, 1968, and was an American author. She was a political activist and a lecturer. She was the first deafblind person to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree. The story of how Helen Keeler, teacher, and Sullivan broke through the isolation imposed by a near complete lack of language, allowing the girl to blossom as she learned to communicate, has become widely known through the dramatic depiction of the play and film The Miracle Worker. Her birthday on June the 27th, commemorated as Helen Keller Day in the US state of Pennsylvania, and was authorized at the federal level by presidential proclamation by President Jimmy Carter back in 1980, which was her 100th birthday. Prolific artist and author, Keller was well-travelled and outspoken in her convictions. A member of the Socialist Party of America and the Industrial Workers of the World, she campaigned for women's suffrage, labour rights, socialism and other radical causes. She was included in the Alabama Women's Hall of Fame back in 1971. So what we're going to do now is that we're going to listen to a bit about Helen Keller's life story.
I think that people fear disability because they think it's something that will not happen to them, but in truth, disability can happen to anyone at any moment. As a person with a disability, you can do whatever you want. If you want to drive, set that goal, make it happen, you can do it. If you want to work, set that goal, make it happen, you can do it. You don't have to settle for what people think you can do. Make your own goals, make your own dreams, and make them come true. They've been told their whole lives what they cannot do instead of what's possible. I have a right to live in this community and be considered an equal. My personal mission is to make it so that people with disabilities are just as much a part of your everyday life in this community as anyone else. Each of you in the public have a place that you go. And the next time you go there, I ask you to think, could someone who uses a wheelchair or someone who uses a walker or crutches also be able to get in here? And if the answer is no, what can you do to change that? Maybe you can refer them to us so that we can help make a difference in our community to the fullest extent possible. You just have to be willing to open yourself up to that.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted. We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Helen Keller dedicated her life to the betterment of others and labored tirelessly on behalf of the deaf and blind. As a lobbyist, fundraiser, speaker, world traveler, and dedicated champion of civil liberties, she did more to promote and secure equal treatment for those with disabilities than anyone before her or since. Helen was born with all of her senses intact on June 27, 1880 in Tuscumbia, Alabama. At 19 months, she suffered a severe bout of what is commonly believed to be scarlet fever, an infliction that dramatically changed her life.
Helen Keller was completely frustrated as a little girl, as any little girl would be.
Her parents sought out the advice and assistance of Dr. Alexander Graham Bell. It was through his intervention that Ann Sullivan entered Keller's life. Sullivan's job was to teach the 7-year-old Helen how to communicate, a daunting task when one considers Helen's circumstances.
One day, she takes Helen to the water pump, she gets the water running, she puts Helen's hand under the water, and then she simultaneously also signs water into Helen's hand, and Helen then learns the connection between the symbols that she is making into the child's hand and the word that it is. From then on, her vocabulary just expanded at a staggering rate. Anne was by far the most important thing in Helen Keller's life.
With Anne by her side, Helen connected with the world around her and learned quickly that many obstacles stood in her way as a deafblind person. She understood the need for an education if she was to prove wrong those who said that a disabled person, let alone a disabled woman, did not have much to contribute to society.
She chose Radcliffe College, as she said, because they didn't want me.
At Radcliffe, amazingly, she learned to understand French, German, Latin, Greek.
Helen graduated cum laude from Radcliffe in 1904 with a Bachelor of Arts and a keen desire to battle publicly for equality. Keller's success, in spite of her disability, inspired many, and she used this celebrity to promote a number of social causes.
Helen Keller was on board for so many political and social issues. She joined the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union. She joined the Socialist Party. She fought for workers' rights. She wrote speeches. She gave speeches. She campaigned. She spoke at Carnegie Hall. She was friends with some of the most eminent radical women of her day.
Miss Keller's constant contact with the intellectual and social world of her day kept her informed, active, and concerned.
Yet it was on behalf of the disabled, especially the deaf and blind communities, that Helen dedicated her greatest amount of time. As an ambassador for the American Foundation for the Blind, Helen fought tirelessly on a number of fronts to improve the opportunities available to blind people.
She wrote to Congress, she wrote to senators, she constantly fought at the highest level for change. As a result of her correspondence and contact with FDR, we have the talking book. When you look at the Helen Keller archives, you can read the letters from people who received talking books. It completely opened up a whole new world that had just simply not existed.
Keller did not limit herself to public speaking and lobbying. She was an influential writer and lent her words to letters and articles that addressed issues of discrimination.
The power of Helen Keller comes through her words. When you read her letters, you can hear her fighting and her passion for the things she believed in.
Keller's commitment to human rights went beyond her national boundaries. She wrote of the atrocities of Nazism and the discrimination that disabled faced under the rule of Hitler. One such letter to Nazi students who had publicly burnt her books began:
"History has taught you nothing if you think you can kill ideas. Tyrants have tried to do that often before, and the ideas have risen up in their might and destroyed them. You can burn my books and the books of the best minds in Europe, but the ideas in them have seeped through a million channels and will continue to quicken other minds."
During World War II, Helen made several cross-country trips to military hospitals, where she spent hours visiting patients and offering herself as a personal example to wounded soldiers. She wanted them to understand that they, like her, could lead a full life in spite of their new disabilities.
She really communicated the feeling that just because you no longer have your sight doesn't mean to say you're of no use to society. And she went around, and I have many examples in the archives at AFB of servicemen writing and saying how inspired they were by her visit and how it truly lifted their spirits and their wonderful letters.
Keller had a strong following throughout the world, and she traveled internationally to promote equality for the disabled. People of all nationalities were inspired by her message of determination and justice.
She traveled by the end of her days to 39 countries across the globe. She was the first major visitor to Japan after Japan had been bombed. She traveled to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. During that trip, 2 million people either lined the streets or came out and listened to her speak.
In Cairo, something in the neighborhood of 100 people were expected to show up. As it turned out, there were more than 600 hungry to hear her message.
Keller committed her entire adult life to the battle for civil liberties and received numerous honors for her work. She was presented the Presidential Medal of Freedom, was the first woman to receive an honorary doctorate from Harvard, and was named one of the 100 most influential people of the 20th century by by Time magazine. Her passing on June 1, 1968, at her Arkin Ridge home in Fairfield County, marked the end of an illustrious lifetime dedicated to securing equal rights for the disabled.
She had a great concern for human beings, for the integrity of life, and for giving people the greatest opportunities that they could achieve.
Helen Keller was always fighting for the underdog. That's what she loved to do, and that's what she profoundly believed in.
Helen Keller always brought out the best in everyone.
Her lack of sight and hearing in no way diminished her relationship with everything around her and her ability to enjoy life. She truly enjoyed it.
There you go with the story of Helen Keller, one of the greatest advocates for people with disabilities in the last century. We're coming up now to 27 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock with Life FM 93.1 with Eric and Mary. I think it's about time Mary went over and got your latest DF report for this particular week. Just waiting for, see can we get Mary while we're waiting there. She's just in studio there getting prepared. And just like to mention that if you'd like to contact the show, please do so at disabilityforum@lifefm.ie. That's disabilityforum@lifefm.ie. And of course you can also text us on 086-7200-931, and we'd love to hear from you about the show and any comments you have, whether they're positive or negative. And if you have any suggestions for the program as well, please do let us know. And I think Mary is ready now.
Good morning, and thanks again, Eric. Well, this morning again, I have lots of information for you. So, the Tour de France, the annual 4-day charity cycle, which sees amateur cyclists cycling over 600 km around the six counties of Munster, announced Down Syndrome Ireland as its chosen beneficiary of this year's cycle. It's an unprecedented fourth year that the national charity has been the beneficiary of Tour de Munster, which took place from Thursday the 8th to Sunday the 11th of August 2013. For up-to-date information and development on the tour, please log on to www.tourdemunster.ie, or you can follow the tour on Twitter at Tour de Munster. For further information on Down Syndrome Ireland, please see www.downsyndrome.ie. That's www.downsyndrome.ie. And Autism Assisted Dogs Ireland would like to know if you can offer a safe and a loving home to a puppy or dog in training to become a forever friend to a child with autism. If you would like to join our valuable team of puppy volunteers, please contact Nuala on 087-799-8179. That's Nuala on 087-799-8179. For more information about the charity, you can go to www.aadi.ie or email info@aadi.ie. That's www.aadi.ie or email is info@aadi.ie. The Carers Association launched an appeal recently for the public support to pressure the government into reversing the 19% cut to the grant in budget 2013 and to ensure carers are not hit again next December. Family carers are required to provide full-time care to dependent loved ones in their own home to qualify for a carer's allowance, with an estimated saving to the state of more than €4 billion annually. The nationwide campaign, entitled Give Carers a Break, is calling for people to display a sticker on their car available from the Cork Carers Association on Tuckey Street. There is also a letter available at carersireland.com, which can be sent online to local elected representatives. This letter reads that the cumulative effect of cuts has made a mockery of the government's stated aspirations to allow as many people as possible to be cared for and grow old in their own home. Pat Casey, who is suffering from IPF, a debilitating illness that reduces the lung's capacity to process oxygen, which then scars the lung tissue and which cannot be reversed, is in need of a double lung transplant. He is urging people to carry donor cards on them at all times. Residential centres for almost 5,000 adults and children with disabilities will be subject to independent inspection for the first time from September onwards. The Health Information and Quality Authority will be responsible for monitoring care standards in residential accommodation centres, which are mostly operated by the volunteer sector. These facilities have not been subject to state inspections or care regulations, despite evidence which shows that children with learning disabilities face a much higher risk of abuse or mistreatment than the general population. The introduction of independent inspections follows sustained pressure from people such as Inclusion Ireland, the umbrella group for people with intellectual disabilities, which have been calling for care safeguards for almost 2 decades. And finally, this week, Irish Wheelchair Association officially opened a new division of the association, Wheelchair Solutions. Wheelchair Solutions provide an extensive range of manual and power wheelchairs, mobility scooters, and a nationwide wheelchair rental service. The Wheelchair Solution team are highly experienced and experts in the area of assisted living requirements, camping equipment, and wheelchair supplies. The Dublin-based store also includes a workshop where repair specialists can assist individuals with general wheelchair repairs and parts replacement. Customers can expect an all-inclusive service with specialist advice on their individual requirements and needs. The range of products available from Wheelchair Solutions include aids and appliances designed to assist those with mobility and dexterity issues. Customers can browse the range of products in a modern, purposely built store which was designed specially to meet the needs of people with physical disabilities. Products can also be bought online from www.iwa.ie/wheelchair. That's www.iwa.ie/wheelchair, or call 01-818-6488. That's 01-818-6488. So back to you, Eric.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you for that report. And if you want to contact Mary, if you have any event coming up or any information that you'd like to have us mention on air, please email disabilityforum@lifefm.ie. It's coming up now to 9:34, and that's about it for us for the programme this week. We do hope that you enjoy the show. A bit of apologies on some of the quality there on some of the reports, and hopefully it didn't take away from your enjoyment of the show, but hopefully we'll have that sorted out next week, and we'll be back with you again after 9. So hopefully the sun will come out later, and the last right through the summer that we'll get our summer. So that's it for this week's Disability Forum, and please do join us again after 9 o'clock next Wednesday here on Life FM 93.1. Take care of yourselves, have a lovely day, have a lovely week. God bless for now.